WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Now, some more analysis of the Boeing shareholder meeting in Chicago yesterday. At the meeting, Boeing CEO Dennis Muilenburg telling investors and reporters that the company is working to make sure that the 737 MAX is one of the safest airplanes ever to fly.
We've been in constant contact with our customers and listening to their needs to ensure that the fleet is maintained appropriately and positioned for an efficient return to service.
Muilenburg also acknowledging that many passengers now apparently don't trust Boeing aircraft.
We do regret the impact that this has had to passengers. We know we do have work to do to earn and re-earn that trust. And we will.
And joining us this morning to talk a little bit more about this, some more analysis as well, is Claire Bushey, reporter at Crain Chicago Business, law and manufacturing reporter at Crain's, who was at the yesterday's shareholder meeting and the news conference as well, spending most of her day with Boeing yesterday. Claire, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I was kind of left wondering, what did we learn new yesterday? And you being in the room there would probably be the best person to answer that question.
Well, to be honest, not tons was actually new. Boeing doubled down on defending the 737 MAX, saying that they had a responsibility, but this was just one event in a chain of events that caused these two crashes. So Dennis took responsibility, but only up to a point.
Yeah, and so and it leaves the question of, you know, where we go from here. I know they're getting the test. Testing is still going on with the 737 MAX software fix. But if there's a chain of problems that led to this, how are they addressing that? Has that been made clear?
Well, training is one of the key parts, in addition to fixing the software associated with this anti-stall flight control system. They also are going to roll out a training package of about an hour to an hour and a half of computer-based learning. That's a little bit controversial because some people have said that the pilots really need more time in a flight simulator, but that is an expensive, time-consuming proposition, and so the airlines are reluctant to do that, and Boeing is reluctant to do that. But ultimately, it's not going to be up to Boeing or the airlines. It is the FAA that needs to sign off on this training package or not.
Yeah, and so it's possible, I guess, that the FAA could require the simulator training. Is that a fair way to say that?
Yes, it's possible. What's also possible is that aviation regulators from elsewhere in the world could decide that they want more extensive training. Canada, China, Europe, they've all indicated that they might want to certify the safety of the software fix and the training package separately. And that would be a radical departure from the way airlines have been approved, certified as safe in the past, where the FAA's sign-off was the gold standard.
I want to talk a little bit about Muilenburg. He appeared for about 16 minutes to answer questions, I think was the total length of that news conference. I've heard, and I know you've been reporting on others, that he was defensive at times, that he was not apologetic in terms of not going that far in terms of apologizing. The question is, what kinds of transparency did you see there? Could there be more transparency at Boeing involving all of this?
I think they're trying to look really hard like they're being transparent while at the same time preserving their legal defense because they're being sued over these crashes. I do believe that people are genuinely ripped off at the company about what happened. I don't doubt that there's sincerity there. But they also, do need to defend their work, and they are going to have to answer in court. And so there is a desire to try to keep from saying anything that will make you liable, much the way after you or I get in a car crash, you don't immediately jump out and say, I'm sorry, even if you really might be.
Yeah, and that's a very good way to put it. And even as the shareholder meeting was going on yesterday here in Chicago, 10 more lawsuits were being filed, or at least discussion of 10 more lawsuits were being filed by a Chicago law firm in one of these crashes. So there is that tightrope to walk, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. There was, last time I checked, some 36 lawsuits, and I'm sure the number has increased by now.
I heard Dennis Muhlenberg yesterday, too, say that there were some discussions, and he wasn't going to be detailed about it yet, about helping airlines recover some of what they're losing here, because we have United and Southwest and American who have these 737 MAXs that are grounded and schedule changes and flight cancellations, and these airlines have been losing a lot of money. That's on the table at Boeing?
Yes, absolutely. That is, they're going to have to compensate their customers because they haven't been delivering planes to them. Also, the airlines have been forced to use less fuel-efficient planes than the MAX, so fuel is costing them more. They have had to lease planes, so they have to pay for that. So there is going to be a point at which they're going to sit down at the table and they're going to hash out what is an appropriate compensation package. And that's why the longer this grounding takes place, the more money it is going to cost Boeing, because it's got that. And it also has all the money that it's losing because they have cut the rate of production for their planes, which is just a huge expense for them.
Yeah, and so that kind of brings me to the next part of this. And you've watching the investors interact with Dennis Muhlenberg yesterday. What was their how was their demeanor? Were the questions angry questions? And I know there was a proposal to maybe remove him as chairman. Where do we stand on some of that?
Well, the people who spoke at yesterday's shareholders meeting, these are not the really big institutional investors. So these are people who, had shares maybe entirely because they wanted to be able to talk at the shareholders meeting. And the proposal to separate the chairmanship and the chief executive role, that received 34% of the vote. So soundly defeated, but I guess, not an embarrassing lack of support, but it was roundly rejected.
As we move forward here, and I played the soundbite of Dennis Muhlenberg talking about the trust issue here, about passengers not trusting Boeing, a lot of passengers not trusting Boeing. How does, obviously getting this problem fixed is step number one, but this is probably going to be a long haul of rebuilding some of that trust, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Anytime you actually have people know what type of plane that they're flying on, that's not something that, most of us in the flying public really take a lot of notice of. And when, people are checking with the airlines to see whether or not they're flying on the 737 MAX or changing their flights at times, that is signaling a real lack of trust. That said, I think that the MAX will return service. It will be on probation for a few years. People will watch it with a gimlet eye. But if it all goes okay, and, it stands to reason that it will, this is just going to become an airplane like any other. It is going to sort of fade into the annals of history.
And long-term institutional threat to Boeing.
Boeing had 100 billion in revenue last year, $10 billion in earnings. They are not going to go anywhere. This is the worst crisis in their existence, but they are going to get through it.
Claire, we appreciate you coming on with us this morning. We know you had a long, busy day yesterday, but we appreciate your reporting on this.
Thank you for having me.
Claire Bushey, law and manufacturing reporter at Crane's Chicago Business. And we'll link out to her latest story on all of this as well this morning, with the podcast of The Opening Bell at 720 WGN.